because of my awayness. Not a word, right? I was away the last week, even though I was away the week before that. I have. I want to start off with a dedication. This is the parsha of Chayu Sara. I'm married to a Sara. I want to dedicate to Shir. Highest of the week that we got married. So, yeah, I don't know, it doesn't mean anything, but okay. It doesn't work out this year that way, but it's amazing that she gave me, she sees the changes in me when I go on such a trip. So I give her tremendous kudos for allowing that and allowing me to go on the trip. The trip that I was on, the Momentum Men's trip, Baruch Hashem, we had this chus, one of the first, not joking, one of the first groups allowed in. Two buses of people, not affiliated, 50 years old, who just inspired me the entire week. Amazing, amazing. Charlie Harari and Ari Shabbat, Harry Rothenberg, people who really know how to speak and know how to inspire. And I'm going to tell you a ridiculous story towards the end, which will explain my topic per se. What's the topic? Which you're going to be mad about, I know. What to look for in your shidduch? What do you mean? Well, I'm a little kid, so on and so forth. So if you have a girlfriend already, you know, this is the opportunity to dump her and find the right now. I'm sure it's the right person. It's based off actually of something that I said a number of years ago, which it's very funny. I hear feedback. I get feedback from people sometimes. It's weird that people listen to my shirt. I was actually walking, what they do on this trip, there are 10 Israelis that came with us, regular Israelis, to show them what's Israeli. And on my way to Shal Shudas at the Clayman's house, and there's a Clayman there, thank you Israel, thank you soldiers, they do an amazing, amazing job, they have this unbelievably gorgeous house. And on the way there, I was talking to one of the secular Israelis, and he was saying to me, not knowing why, just saying, no, they don't know that I'm a rabbi on this trip, I'm just a regular guy. I'm just a trip coordinator. So he didn't know what he was getting into. And he said to me, I want to tell you why I'm chiloni. I'm chiloni because I don't see a difference between us and them. And even if there's a little difference to chosen people, we're supposed to be an Orla Gayin, it's not that much. And so I told him who I was. And I told him about why you Torah. And he's like, you're chashurim, you know. I spoke. I said, I actually come in and volunteer my time and speak about business ethics every single day. And I said, I disagree with you. And I think one of the lessons when you find your shit up is that hopefully we're different than other nations in how we choose our spouse and what we look for. And I think it goes both ways, as we'll see in a moment. What's fascinating in our parsha is that this is actually called the parsha of Shiduchim. We'll be quoting a lot Rapam, the Rosh Hashiva of Torah Vadas, who's an amazing, amazing individual. This was the parasha that he spoke a lot to the Bachru about Shaduch. And I was saying that people listen. So this was a shir that I gave on Shaduchim itself to two guys, maybe it was a Return and Learn guys, maybe when they used to have Return and Learn. Maybe they'll have it this year. And I got a lot of feedback, especially from girls. There were girls that listened to it. I got to here and there, some of my wife's former students, it's just some girls that I would say, oh, yeah, you're the rabbi, I like what you said. And what's fascinating about the parasha of Shiduchim, and in fact, there was a custom that when a chassan has the ufruf, they no matter what the parasha is of the week, they tell him to read this, read the parasha of Shiduchim, is that Eliezer is the trusted servant of Avraham Avinu. We see how much covet he gets. So now something very strange happens. Avraham Avinu says, okay, I need to continue the generation. Baruch Hashem, the Rebbeinu Shalom gave me a child. It was not easy. And unfortunately, my wife has passed away, which was in itself maybe even one of the tests, maybe in some ways more than an Akedas Yitzchak, because now he did everything the Rebbeinu Shalom asked him and comes home to see his wife is dead because of the faulty information she received. And what does he say? He says, I want you to place your hand under your thigh. Sorry, I want you to swear to me. By this, the pasuk before. He says, swear to me. V'eshbicha b'Hashem elokei ha-shamayim v'aretz asher lo tikach ishel v'bnei b'nos ha-knani asher anoch yoshev shem. I have a job for you to do. V'arvim zakin ba'ba yomim. And Hashem blessed him with everything. Bakol, Shiloh and the Poiskin. What does Bakol mean? Bakol, some people say is Ben, because as Rashi says, it's a Lashon of Ben. It has the same gematria as Ben. He has the good fortune, and now he has to find something. Put your hand underneath my vine. Swear to me. Now, this doesn't sound so bad. He should give him instructions. Except Eliezer is like, so here's the thing. I'm your guy. I'm your trip coordinator, you know? I'm your Daniel Hartstein. I'm your wingman. Why are you looking anywhere else other than in my house? What about my daughter? You trust me for everything else? And that was difficult. Why not? Seems like a great shidduch. Eliezer, the trusted guy, with all the gold, the silver, is very wealthy. Nothing. So I'll explain it based on a beautiful idea. I once heard from Rav Schechter, Rosh Hashiva NYU, Rosh Kolo. It's such a good idea because we all experience it. And I think it's definitely a light into Shidduchim as well. He said there was a student of mine, he said, who unfortunately didn't have the highest self-esteem. And he had smicha, and he was offered a coveted position somewhere in the Midwest of the United States. But he said, Rebbe, I can't take this job because I'm a nobody, I'm a nothing. Let's be honest, I may have the smicha, I may have S, but I don't know anything. And Rav Schechter says, that's what I'm here for. This is how you become a rabbi. That's what happens, right? They need people like you. You need to go, you need to do, any question you have. And Rav Schechter said, wow, what a mistake that was. Almost every night he called me with a question. All the time. Finally, after about a year, the calls totally stopped. And I figured he probably found another Rebbe to call, someone closer in his town. Beautiful, great. And then he said, he invited me to be scholar residence. So I come, and we're sitting and eating Friday night dinner. And I said to him, you know, I was wondering, who's your new Rebbe? Who are you asking all the questions to? You literally call me every night. He said, Rebbe, let me explain to you something. You saw this evening when we went to shul. See how everybody stands up for me in the big shul? See how much covered I get? Everybody comes after shul, shaking my hand. It's pre-COVID. I've realized I don't need you anymore. I'm a kashuv. Schechter said, what a horrible story. So he looked at him and he said, you know who you are? You're Eliezer. He says, thank you. So that wasn't a compliment. Eliezer thought that because physically he controlled all of Avram's wealth and all of Avram's greatness and all of what, that spiritually that would be perfect. And that is very, very incorrect. That is a terrible thought for a person to think. The two don't necessarily, they should join each other, but they don't necessarily join each other. Avram Avinu was making a statement and saying, Eliezer, you're great at what you do on the physical side, but spiritually, we'll see why, Dafka spiritually, you needed somebody else. And excuse me for saying the truth. But sometimes we only look at the physical and we say, wow, she's so eiskahal. She's so beautiful. You've never met such a great soul. She's gorgeous, and she's, wow, everything, so and so forth. And then you feel bad because you realize how you're describing her, and she says, oh, and she also has great meatballs. No. Now, I remember way back when I was still looking for my shidduch, we were sitting around a bunch of YU guys who had the schuss of going back to Eretz Yisrael for an Elul Zman. We were in the parish of Shidduch. And we sat next to the great Kohen Gadol, Rav Yaakov Katz, around the table, the Rosh Kol at the time, in Yeshiva HaKotel, and we were sitting at a table like this, except imagine being scared. You're not scared of me. And I don't know why, he points to me. And he says, "Nu, you're in Shidduchim. Are you looking for a girl that's pretty?" And so, of course, being, you know, I know exactly what the lead up is. I'm like, that's not the most important thing at all. At all. And here I go, ready? And I say it, I'm like, because you know why, Rebbe? Sheker achei behevel ayoyfi. It's vanity. Yoyfi, it's nothing. Isha yuras Hashem, he says, Salva. He says, really? Well, I got bad news for you. I married my wife and she's beautiful. And anybody who doesn't think his wife is beautiful should not marry. So what does the pasuk mean? How can it say? And the Rabbeinu Bachaya picks up on this. And we'll get to it in just a moment. Now I just reminded myself that when I got engaged, the night I got engaged, good stuff. So I don't know why, but I was, when I was dating my wife, we didn't date for so long, Baruch Hashem, only 3.5 months. Crazy. So I started learning Pirkei Avos. And I said that when I finished Pirkei Avos, that's the time I know it's time to get engaged. I never finished that Pirkei Avos. Baruch Hashem, I had to speed it up a bit. And I did a siyum at our, just on Pirkei Avos. But this story meant a lot to me because on Shabbos, when we're eating the Shabbos meal, a guy gets up, not religious guy, and he says, I wanted more in my life. I wanted to push myself a little bit. So his rabbi from Komak, Rav Mendel, he said, Rav Mendi, what can I do? I'm not there. He says, well, let's start learning ethics of our fathers. Once a week, we'll have a chavrusa. So he explained how he would force him to break his teeth on trying to read it in Hebrew, and he had beautiful Pirkei Avos. And he says, now, I forgot how many years later, we finished all the Pirkei Avos, and he did a siyum of Pirkei Avos. So I did a siyum. And you know, the last mission, of course, thank God, not so long. Kol marash masha bara kodesh baruch hu. Right, everything's the chvoida. Everything's for the Rabbanu Shah. So I sat over this board and I said, well, is it really true? So Rabbeinu Bachaya picks up on this. And he says, of course you shouldn't marry somebody only for their look. Shekar achin behel v'ayofi, says in Mishlei, Shlomo HaMelech. Yishu yiras Hashem yisasalo. We don't marry a woman based on her family's wealth. Because money's not going to go with you necessarily, or there's going to be a lot of strings attached. You don't marry somebody because she's the daughter of the ambassador or whatever. Ambassador Friedman came last night to our closing event. Right? You don't marry somebody because, you know what the father does. He's the lawyer for the Yankees, so we're going to get season tickets. What's my intention? My intention has to be, says the Rabbeinu Bachaya, to establish a home and a family, to raise children that are loyal to Hashem and His Torah. That is the purpose of marriage, and that is the purpose of why marriage was established for generations and generations. But we have an answer to that, which I'll say in a moment. Just going to read you a few lines, if you don't mind, and I know you don't mind, from the Rabbeinu Bachaya, which I think centers around the theme of who you should marry. Says the Rabbeinu Bachaya that the groom is reminded not to marry a woman because, thank God, we have it in English also, because of her physical beauty. As Shlomo HaMelech says, Sheker Achein Ve'el Vayofi. Don't marry because of wealth. Money's going to go away. Don't marry somebody because her family is powerful and influential family. But Isha Yiras Hashem Yisasalo. You know what the most important thing, says the Rabbeinu Bachai, is? Midos. Yisrach Shiyah Kavanatu L'Shem Shemayim Shiyudach L'Mishmacha Guna. Because your children are going to follow her ways. You have to understand that The woman is in the carousel of ice. In the last month, I've been home for like 4 days. So she's the carousel of ice. So I need someone that has midos. You should choose a family when you see the family has midos. When you see that they're balei chesed, forget about money. You look at the family and say, wow, this girl, this is the girl. That's the girl I want to marry. The Gemara tells us in Bava Basra that a person should carefully check Kuf Yud into the character traits of his future wife. Because, this is what he writes, look at the brothers of the wife and how they act. Just as wine, says Rabbeinu Bachaya, absorbs the flavor of the barrel that it's contained in, generally children follow the traits of their wives, of your wives, of their mother. The analysis of the Rabbeinu Bachaya is Eliezer wasn't royu that his daughter would marry Yitzchak. Why? Because he realized that even though there was a city which she lived in, Mishkal Mamre, on there, but one thing that was known, to go out to a city, to find a mate outside the city where they were known for their midos. The Malvin writes, says Rav Palm, that midos were passed down from parent to parent. This was the hashkafa. And that's why he told him specifically where to go. Swear to me, not midos kanan, because they have bad midos. And that's, of course, who he found. It's the highest of importance. Rav Palm gives a lot of examples. Unfortunately, we don't have time for it. And these examples generally will lead to that. But let me finish the statement that I made to begin with. Says Rav Katz, it's not true that you should marry a girl that's pretty. First of all, you have a chiyuv to marry a girl that you find to be good looking. But I think Rav Palm says this, or Rav Katz said this. This is based on the Gro. Beauty is a zero. Beauty and whatever you want to bring with the beauty is nothing. Zero plus zero is zero, 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 zero. So if you have the mitos, the Isha Yiras Hashem, the one is put in front of it. And then you have millions. So the first thing you have to look for is she have mitos? Is she nice? Is she kind? Does she teach? Will she teach that to my children? Because I'm not going to be around all the time. And yes, I have a job too to be a Baal Chesed. I have to give up my time, not only sitting and learning Torah. Fortunately, you get very difficult questions. One of the difficult questions I got on this trip was, we went to Meir Shem, went to this, went to that. Why were those people so pushy? Why were they nice to us? Yes, that's part of Chesed. Your Torah is worthless if you don't have Chesed. That's one of the most important things in life. So here's a remarkable story. On Friday night, impromptu, the guys had nothing to do. I don't know why. They ossered them. They usually go to Tish's in Meir Sharm. They had weird rules. Like, besides, okay, security, you can't go to Hebron, which you all went to, by the way. They told them that they're not allowed to go to because of the riots in Meir Sharm. I don't know what they were talking about. So we had a group that came. We brought a lot of different nice snack foods and some shtia, some yain sof. And we allow people to ask questions. Ooh, did it not go well in the beginning? The first guy raised his hand. He goes, I have a question for you. Because a bunch of the trip leaders were there. He says, can you explain evangelical Christianity to me? We're like, no. Why did it like Israel? Okay, sorry. Okay. And then one guy got up and he said, no offense, I'm a hard worker. It's very hard for me to make ends meet. And I'm busy all the time.
And I'm trying for this religious thing. I'm not Charlie Harari, okay? I'm not Ari Shabbat. I'm not Harry Rothenberg. I can't do this. No offense, but I don't get the point of this whole trip because I can't be like you. I can't. You don't know my circumstances. And then this amazing conversation started. And like they were throwing, there's non-religious people getting up, throwing bottles. This guy got up and goes, I'm in the same industry. You know what? I think I'm poorer than you are. My job was cut 25% less money I make today, which turns out to be really 35% because whatever, because of the price of everything. I started selling laptops on the side to make money. And then I wanted to go on this trip so badly, I called my mother, this is a 50-year-old guy, and said, Ma, can I borrow some money to go on this trip? So don't you dare tell me, right? They're going on and on. And this guy gets up, David Siegel. And he says, I heard this story. You got to give me a few minutes to tell the story. To me, it shows that everybody can make a difference. And I think this is a story that shows when you have parents that are in chesed, wow. He says, I heard this story about this kid. He's a great kid. Let's call him Dylan. Dylan, not a firm kid, doesn't matter. So Dylan comes home from school one day. And Dylan says, Mom, terrible story. My friend in class has a very rare genetic disease. One of the Jewish diseases that unfortunately we have. I want to do something about it. I want to raise money so we can find a cure to his disease. So the mom's like, you know, parents. The mom's dealing with her father, Nebuch, who has terminal cancer. The father's dealing with the fact that he's about to lose his job. So they're like, all right, what do you want to do? So the kid brings his little piggy bank and he says, here, I have this money. It's a little kid. I'm like, dude, it's not going to do anything. So they're like, all right, you want to do something big? Why don't you have like a lemonade stand? Maybe a bake sale. You could raise like $100, $200. He's like, you guys, seriously, that's all you came up with? Your parents? Like, forget it. Comes the next day to his parents, he's like, I thought of a great idea. I'm a bit of an artist. I want to make a book. I want to write a book of all my art stuff and explain my story. The parents are like, okay, whatever. So he works for a few weeks on this. And he writes a book called The Chocolate Bar. So Chocolate Bar, it's called. And his parents are like, all right, we'll pay for the beginning of it. For hulu, for hulu, no. And amazing. It starts to hit in the school that he goes to. And kids buy the book and they return it back to him because he only had a few copies. And the kid produces more and more and more. I know this sounds absolutely impossible. He raises $1.5 million to cure the disease. To cure the disease. A little kid. $1.5 million, it becomes a huge thing. He gets on Eshat Torah, and then they put him on Good Morning, whatever, and this, that, and everybody's buying the book. And can't make enough books. 7 years old. And this guy, David Silver, gets up and says, the story means so much to me because Dylan is my son. And everybody's like, whoa, mic drop. Ah. He says, don't you ever think that you can't do anything. But you know where that came from? I told David Siegel, it came from you. You obviously have needles, and I know you were busy, and I know Nebuch, your father-in-law, was dying, and you had lost your job, but you had needles in the house, and the kid said, it's not enough, I got to do something. That's who you want to marry, and that's who you have to be. That's what you have to concentrate on. That's the most important thing in life. What are my needles? Yes, of course it's important to go to Minyan. Of course it's important to be spiritual. Of course it's important to sit and learn Torah and do all the mitzvahs of Hashem. But if I don't have needles, I'm a nothing, I'm a nobody. That's it. I can't marry somebody who has no needles. I hate labels so much. I use it all the time. But there were so many people on this trip that were so much more religious than I was. Because we define religion in a box, right? Religious is this, it's that. If you do this, you do that, right? You can have a guy who steals lies and cheats, and I know somebody like this, who got out of jail, I'm not exaggerating, he got out of jail right before Yom Kippur, and by Simchas Torah, he got Chasam Torah. He went to jail for money laundering. When I sat with this Israeli, I said to him, that's not us. There's some crazy people dressed as religious. They're not religious. We are the religion of Midos. And that's who you look for. But yes, of course, as Rav Katz said, of course it's important. Sheker Achei V'Hevel Yofi, because first you put the Isha Yiras Hashem first, and then the ones and the zeros. That's the idea. We should be zeichet to find our zibuk hanachon. I'm zeichet that I found mine already. Mitz Hashem, she should continue doing the greatest stock of the world, the greatest chesed that she's ever done, and stay with me. I should be zeichet to understand the message of Avraham Avinu Eliezer, Rapam's message, the Rabbeinu Mechai's message. I should be zeichet to only goodness from the Rabbeinu Shalom, and to find, redefine, and what it is to be a Jew with Midos Tovos, Chesed, and yes, Torah Mitzvot as well. Let's start with that. That will be the Shidduch that Mitzvah Hashem should be hugging to find at the proper time. Mm-hmm.